In his latest book, Idiotic Things People Did in the Bible, best-selling author and television host Ray Comfort, with humor, clarity, and solid biblical insight, he unpacks the lessons these missteps teach us about sin, the holiness of God, and the depth of his mercy and grace. Ray also draws powerful parallels between the mistakes of biblical figures and the very real struggles and temptations that we face in our lives today. Hi, this is Sonia Hines, and welcome to Spotlight. And today my guest is Ray Comfort. Welcome, Ray.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, Ray, I'm really enjoying this book. What inspired you to write Idiotic Things People Did in the Bible?
Well, if you see from the dedication, I've got a friend in Ken Ham from the Ark Encounter.
Yes.
We've been texting each other for 6 years, almost every day. Ken's Australian, I'm New Zealander, and he expresses his love through insults. So every day he insults me. So you'll notice the dedication is to Ken Ham. It says, I'd like to thank my friend Ken Ham, whose life inspired the title of this book. The inspiration really not only came from Ken, but I was talking to a friend on the phone about a year or so ago, and I says, oh, people did idiotic things in the Bible. And I thought, what a great title for a book. And it was so easy to write. You know, Sonia, a lot of Christians say when they go to heaven, the first thing they're going to do is bow the knee to Jesus. But I've got something else I want to do first, and that is I want to smack Adam in the mouth, because every suffering that we have on this earth comes because of Adam's transgression. As by the disobedience of one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. So that's the first thing I want to do before I fall at the feet of Jesus.
Well, you know, I love how you highlight some of the characters in your book. And speaking of Adam, you call Adam and Eve the first couple to ruin everything. And then you had Solomon, the wisest man, dumbest husband, just to name a couple. Who are some of the others that you highlight in your book?
Well, King David has got to be up there, because he should have been out in the heat of battle, but he wasn't. He was wandering his rooftops with a wandering eye and looking at his neighbor's wife and violating the 10th commandment. What he was actually doing was entering into a realm that's so easy for each of us to enter into, and it's the realm of idolatry. I mean, you think, how could David have done this? He committed adultery and murder, tried to hide his sin from God. He's the hero of Israel that took down Goliath. How could this happen? Well, it's easy. All you do is shape a God to suit your sins. I am very wary of idolatry, because before I was a Christian, I was an idolater unwittingly. I prayed every night for 10 years, prayed the Lord's Prayer as a kind of sleeping pill to get to sleep. But I prayed to the God of my imagination, an image of God that didn't exist. And that's what humanity can do. We can create a God that suits our sins, and that's exactly what David did. And it was Nathan that brought the fear of God back into his heart. God bless that faithful prophet who walked in and said, you're the man, why have you despised the commandment of the Lord? And that's what caused David to cry out, I've sinned against heaven. And so it's a lesson to us not to lust, because lust brings forth sin, as it did with David, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. So when men in particular are attracted to the pleasures of lust, which we are with our sinful heart, we've got to remember that it comes with a bad bedfellow. With sin comes death. The soul that sins, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. And that helps me keep my wicked heart free from sin, and helps me to walk in the fear of the Lord. The greatest favor any man in particular can do, any woman, is walk in the fear of the Lord, knowing that the eye of the Lord is in every place, beholding the evil and the good, which is what David seemed to have forgotten.
Yeah, amen to that. Well, when you look at all of the sins of David, yet he was called a man after God's own heart. Why is that?
Well, I've got my thoughts on it. I may be incorrect, but David was a man of tremendous mercy. He had many, many sins, as we all do. But he was able to extend mercy, particularly towards Saul. You know, when you've got a guy trying to murder you, throwing spears at you, trying to pin you to the wall, and having an army chase you down like a dog, when he's in a cave with his back to you, you can whack him on the head with a rock and out of self-defense in that sense. And we're saying, well, David, don't let Saul go. But he did. He says, I'll not touch the Lord's anointed. He was able to extend mercy. Mm. And that's the great attribute of God. Without that mercy, God being rich in mercy, we wouldn't have any hope in our salvation. So I think that's maybe why God called David a man after his own heart.
So, Ray, after each chapter, there are questions for reflection. Why the reflection questions?
Well, we tend to forget. I remember statistic. I think I've got it right. We forget something like 90 or 80 or 70 or 60%, I can't remember, of the things we hear. And it pays. I love scripture where Peter writes to us, to Christians, and he says, let me stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So when you read a chapter, you can say, boy, they're important truths to remember. But if you go over them and ask questions of what you've read and answer them yourself, it tends to cause it to sit stronger in their memory banks.
So what are you hoping people will learn from the blunders of the people that you point out in the Bible?
Well, there's a threefold purpose of most of the books that I write, well, all of the books I write. Firstly, every book contains the gospel. The gospel is the power of God to salvation, and my heart breaks that 150,000 people die every 24 hours, and many die without the hope of Christ. And to die without hope is like jumping out of a plane at night without a parachute. It's a horror beyond words. So the gospel is thoroughly flavored in there. And the title tends to lend itself to giving it to your neighbor. I sent one to Penn Jillette, the atheist, famous magician in Las Vegas. He's a friend of mine. So I witnessed to him in Washington, D.C. a number of years ago, and we've remained friends. And so I sent him the book knowing that he would love the title because he thinks the Bible's an idiotic book and people that believe it are idiots and people in it are idiots and he might just read it. Secondly, I want to stir up Christians to share their faith. Every Christian should share their faith. The Great Commission is greatly ignored by most of the church. We're busy worshiping God. We raise our hands to him and worship but refuse to reach out our hands in evangelism for him. And the world is like a man who is trapped in a burning house. And we can't just run away. We've got to call out, wake up, get out. And that's what we're called to do as Christians. So that's my agenda, to electrify the pews and encourage Christians to share their faith. And the third thing is I can't remember because I'm getting old.
I'm right there with you, Ray. Well, again, my guest is Ray Comfort. And Ray, I know that your book is available on Amazon. Are there other outlets where people can buy your book?
Yes, livingwaters.com and Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham's ministry in their bookstore, which is wonderful.
My guest is Ray Comfort, author of Idiotic Things People Did in the Bible. It is an easy read, a great read. So make sure you pick your copy up. This is Sonia Hines with Spotlight. Thank you for listening.
Spotlight, a public affairs program of the Mars Hill Network. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the Mars Hill staff, management, or board of directors. Inquiries and suggestions are welcome. Email them to spotlight@marshillnetwork.org or regular mail to Spotlight in care of Mars Hill Network, 4044 Mackay's Road, that's spelled M-A-K-Y-E-S, 13215.